This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay of Arts Partners of Central Illinois. We're talking with Randy Witte about The Monkey Project. It's one of three exhibits on display now at the Contemporary Arts Center and runs through February 7th. Randy, good to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you guys.
Now, this exhibit includes about 20 or 30 sketches of monkeys that you have collected over the years. But this is drawn from your personal collection, and how large is that?
Well, I haven't done a complete count in probably 6 months or so, but I'm not 100%. But I know I'm nearing 900, if not a little over 900 right at the moment. 900 different people that have drawn monkeys, apes, chimps for me.
Why monkeys?
So I was a little kid. The earliest memory I remember is I was a little kid, refused to eat anything but bananas. So it was just a time period, and I got a nickname out of it. And then I got, for Christmas every year, my mom has given me either a stuffed monkey or some other monkey trinket or something along those lines. So it's kind of stuck, and then from there on, kind of went out of control.
I was lucky enough to see your exhibit, and I was speaking with William Butler of the Contemporary Arts Center, who said, go ahead and pick your top 20 or 30. But how do you pare that down, seeing that you've got nearly 900?
Yeah, that's one of the hardest things I've ever done. You know, it's one of those, being able to see almost all 900, like, start out from a line to a finished product, it's like they're all very, very important to me. Every one of them, from a masterful painting to a crayon sketch of a four-year-old, it's like they all mean so much to me. So it was a really, really hard pare down to get down to 25 pieces, basically.
Well, and how do you look through the 900 pieces? How are they organized so that you see which ones you're going to pull?
Well, luckily over the last year, I have scanned most of them, almost every one of them, into my computer. So it's like I can just flip through the pictures on my computer and then go back to the archives and dig them out. But that was fairly, you know, I don't want to say easy, but it was easier than it could have been.
Now, one of the things that I noticed is that at the exhibit, at least at the on opening night, you had a tablet, an iPad, or a Kindle set up. And like you said, you have a lot of these digitized so that someone could just scroll through and look at things that weren't on display.
Right.
Has there been any thought of, you know, creating some sort of online archive down the road and having all of these?
That's kind of why I bought a scanner in the first place. It's one of those things I have enough people bugging me to either do a blog or like a Monkey Day blog or like a website or something along those lines. The thing is, it's every one of them have such a great story. So it's one of those things. It's like I can look at something that I got 13 years ago. I remember the exact minute I got it. I remember who it was, what the situation was. So I think a blog's a really good idea because I can put like a story with each one of the pictures. That's why I scanned everything together to try to get a digital copy. So if I decide to do anything, it's a little easier.
I also think it'd be interesting to hear, how did you secure the art through some of these famous people? What was your pitch? And how did you lure them to become a part of the project?
Different with every person. You know, it's one of those things. I rarely ask somebody I don't have an interest in. You know, it's always either an artist that I really like, an illustrator that I like, or actors, actresses, bands. You know, it's just something I have a genuine interest in, or just strangers off the street. You know, it's one of those things. I've gotten a bunch middle of the night at Perkins. I just hand the book around and it goes from table to table and they fill it up. So every one of them are a little different.
Well, for example, you approached actors like Betty White and Ed Asner, and they both gave you monkey sketches. How did that come about?
Most of the bigger celebrities, there's a lot that I've gotten at comedy clubs and conventions and stuff like that. But most of the bigger ones, I just write them letters. You know, Betty White has been a huge animal activist for many, many years. And I just wrote her a letter and said, I'm a big fan of your work, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I can get you to draw me a monkey. And I got a great one on her stationery that she sent me. Jack Black, I wrote to him via venue at a Tenacious D concert. And just a couple days later, showed back up in the mail. It's worth a shot, you know. It's not just asking for an autograph. It's not asking for a picture. It's something a little different. So it gets people's attention a little better.
And how about Sidney Carroll, who does, is it Oscar the Grouch?
Oh, Carol Spinney. Oh, man. Yeah, that one was, he was at a convention. He was at a comic convention in New York. And one of my friends was there and just point blank was like, my friend has a monkey project. I would love to get a sketch for him. And he brought it home for me from New York. So,
and describe his, because I thought being one of the PBS puppets, it's a perfect contribution.
Yeah. It's a monkey. It's just a cute little monkey, but his tail is coming up on the back of it and has a tiny little Big Bird puppet that's on the back of its tail. So, and he's the voice of Oscar the Grouch. He's played Big Bird forever. But he was also an illustrator for the military for Army manuals originally. So it's like he's got a background in art too.
And did you know that when you approached
him? Not at all. And the thing is, I didn't approach him. I got that from a couple of my friends that went to the New York Comic Con. So there's a few out there that I've gotten from other people, but yeah, they're always a surprise.
What's your thought about when people say, I had a favorite? For instance, a favorite of mine was Andy Lee, who drew and painted in what they call the Buddhist method. It looked like a mad monkey.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's being able to watch that one get created, because he rarely uses brushes at all. It's almost all finger, like dipping his fingers in paints and stuff like that. It's all like hands-on art. That one really means a lot to me. You know, it's like that one was one of the more amazing ones that I've gotten, and he's since kind of retired from the business, and he's now a teacher in Hawaii. So it's like, it's somebody I haven't seen in a long time either. Somebody that meant a lot to me as an artist and just kind of went away from the business. So I hope he comes back.
You were talking earlier that you've used conventions as a way of getting some of these sketches. So you've gone to comic conventions, and you've also gone to some horror conventions.
Oh, yeah.
So that's put you in touch with illustrators and artists and filmmakers. So that's been a source of sketches as well.
Yeah, different filmmakers, directors, and through Drunken Zombie, it's a little easier getting to those people. But I've gotten like Freddy Krueger, or Robert Englund, the guy who plays Freddy Krueger at a convention. Jordy Schell, who is a special effects mask maker, and he did all the special effects for creature designs for Avatar and tons of other movies. You know, it's like, but those people are the people that jump at the chance. You know, it's like those are the ones that are all about it. They're like, oh, yeah, I'd love to. You know, and I leave the sketchbook with them a half hour later, and I get an amazing piece back. That's one of them that's in the gallery, too.
Do you feel like having a collection like this is encouraging others to collect art?
I hope so. I hope it just lets people enjoy it a little more. You know, it's like, I think there's so much stuff that we get so bombarded with stimulus on a daily basis that it all kinds of blends in. I want something to stick out. You know, it's like everything in this room is artistic in some way, shape, or form. It was from the person who created the table to the mics to the lamps. It's art. But everybody kind of ignores it because there's so much of it around. So it's just, if I can get somebody to focus a little bit and like make their part to the project, that means the world to me.
Can you talk a little bit about how this came to be an exhibit at the Contemporary Art Center? Because was there a newspaper article about a year ago?
There was a magazine article by Jonathan Wright in the Art and Society? Yeah, Art and Society magazine. And a couple days after it came out, William from the Contemporary Art Center called me and said, we would love to get you in the gallery. Because, and again, that's what his main goal was. He's like, I want to get you more monkeys. It's like, if we can put up a gallery of some of your best pieces and then have a monkey sketchbook out for the whole time, anybody who comes in can take part and draw on the project.
And so then that must have started a process of discussion with him and curating.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he discussed it with me, and then we kind of lost track. Everything got crazy for about 6 months. And then he's like, I got a date. Let's do it then. So then it gets to the point where I got to pare down all this stuff, get it framed, ready. Yeah.
It looks real good because you've got some of the smaller pieces together and you got some of the larger pieces together on one wall. It's really, really dynamic.
In fact, there was one piece in the show that made its appearance that day. Like I got it on the Tuesday, had it framed Tuesday afternoon in the gallery Wednesday, and then premiered on Friday. So it's like, or premiered on that Saturday. So nobody had even seen that piece, which is really cool.
Well, talk a little bit about how you've experienced this whole process, because a little over a year ago, you were a guy with some sketchbooks and you collected monkey sketches. And then in this not too great a period of time, suddenly that leads to a magazine article, which then leads to an exhibit. So, I mean, how has that journey, that process been for you?
I'm still not sure. It's one of those things, getting to experience it has been a lot of fun. It's getting people's reactions to the art is what makes it all worth it. You know, it's like, because I've had a bunch of people, it's like, oh yeah, we know you do the monkey sketchbook. And then they go to the gallery and they're like, you have such a great array. Like everything, like from, you know, professional actors and actresses to just amazing illustrators to little kids. And it's like, it's getting that whole mix of everything together. But I think I was talking to somebody today that actually flipped through all the Monkey books with me today, and they were just baffled at the amount of talent. And it's like a lot of them are just people off the street. You know, it's like just what they come up with spur of the moment is what kind of gets everything going.
What struck me, and maybe I'm being a little psychological about it, but everybody wants to connect with life. Everybody wants to be a part of humanity. And I got the feeling that a part of this project is your social hook to the world.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is kind of odd. It's one of those things. I started out going to conventions and getting sketches and stuff like that. And then I focused on this after a certain amount of time. But now I have artists come up to me and they're like, you need to get this guy to draw you a monkey. And it's like they take me, you know, because they've known me from years ago. And they're like, you need to get this guy. So this guy introduces me to this guy. This guy introduces me to this guy. Next thing you know, there's a bunch of them. And I'm like, it kind of just all fell into place.
Now, is there an end point in sight for this? I mean, are you thinking about maybe get to 1,000 and then call it done? Or is this something you'll be?
I doubt there's ever going to be an end point because really it's just I carry a bag with my computer in it every day and it has a sketchbook. Only weighs another, you know, half a pound and it doesn't go anywhere. So I've always got a sketchbook with me. The one goal is it has been, I think March 24th will be 13 years. Or will it be 14? 14 years. And then by the 15th year, I'd love to have 1,000 different people, which is about 100 that I need in the next year plus. So I don't know. I'd love to be able to have like 1,000 different people take part in the project by the end of the 15th year.
You better get down to monkey business.
I know.
That's Randy Witte talking about the Monkey Project. It's on display until February 7th at the Contemporary Art Center in Peoria. Randy, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Stephanie Sobey. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.